go into a sermon in just a couple of minutes that is focusing on fighting the fires of temptation. And I thought, what a great way to segue cadets to a sermon on fighting temptation than to have a little demonstration of how to fight fires. So Lieutenant Mike Boringa, and the Explorer Lieutenant Brian Williams are going to give us a demonstration on fighting fires this morning. Thanks, Mike.
Good morning. With the current series, the sermon series, and the interest in the movie Fireproof, we thought we'd give a little demonstration on firefighting, and I have my assistant here, Brian Williams, that's going to put on the gear that we wear typically into a fire. If he masks up, you will be able to see that pretty much all of his skin is protected, that there's nothing that's open to the elements of heat, and so that he doesn't get burned. When we go into a burning building, what we typically do is we take the fire hose, which is over here, and an axe, or what we call the irons, an axe and halogen bar. As you saw in the movie, that axe came very much in handy for the lieutenant that, or the captain that was trying to get out of that room. He had to cut through the floor. While the individuals or the firefighters are inside the building, there's also firefighters on the exterior of the building that are doing assignments to assist with the firefighting measure. It's important that these firefighters do their task correctly. If they don't, injuries can occur. Now, oftentimes the jobs that are on the exterior of the building aren't as glamorous as those of firefighting or performing rescue, but they're still as vitally important. And as we're talking about temptation today, firefighters need to resist the temptation of what we call in the fire service freelancing. That's doing another job other than what you were assigned. One of the jobs that we do in the exterior is called ventilation. Ventilation is the systematic removal of the heat and the smoke and the toxic gases out of the building. This is done, again, that's his pass alarm. That's to let us know that he's not moving. If a firefighter stops moving, that's the pass alarm that goes off. But back to ventilation. What we do is we cut holes either in windows or just take out the windows, take out the doors, or we open up a hole in the roof to let the heat and the smoke and the toxic gases out. What we use is the axe and saws and a pike pole. When we open this up, it often relieves the heat out of the building so that the firefighters on the inside can do their job more effectively. What oftentimes happens is, as you open up this ventilation hole, fire actually comes out because these superheated gases hit the oxygen-rich air again, and a fire ignites out of the ventilation hole. Firefighters, again, have to resist the temptation of putting fire or putting water on that fire. Doing so just forces all that heat back on the firefighters, and many a firefighter have been burnt because of that failure of the firefighters. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If your clothes catch on fire, say they did put the hose into the ventilation hole and your clothes catch on fire, what are you to do?
Stop, drop, and roll.
Good answer. Good job. Let's give him a hand. So as you can see, we work together as a team. Not every firefighter storms into the building and does the job. Some have jobs that are on the exterior of the building. Some have interior, but all together, they work together to perform the function of putting the fire out. And again, if your clothes catch on fire, good job. Thank you very much.
Drop, drop, and roll. Here we go. Thanks, you guys, for the demonstration. You know, as I think about it, the kind of training that Brian is going through right now, the guy who's all dressed up there in the Explorers program, and for Lieutenant Mike Boringa and many others, we've got a number of people in our congregation who are firefighters. The kind of training that they have to go through, the kind of intentionality of how to fight the fires should in some way reflect the kind of intentionality and purposefulness with which we fight the fires of temptation that are bound to come our way in our spiritual life. Doesn't that make sense? Amen? Does that make sense? We ought to be as intentional on a personal spiritual level in fighting the fires of temptation as the firefighters are who go into a burning building, because the Bible makes it so clear that the fires of temptation are flaring up all around us. And we need to be aware and alert about that reality in the world in which we live. I want you to take your Bibles with me and turn to page 1208. I want to look with you for a little bit this morning at a text in 1 John 2, page 1208. And I would like to have all of you guys open that up, cadets as well, as we look at it. It's very much applicable. This is a message that applies to marriages, but it applies to children and teens and people who are single and people who are married, all of us, fighting the fires of temptation in the world that we live in. So here we are in this text in 1 John 2, and just to set it up for you, 1 John is a wonderful book that talks about the person and the deity of Jesus Christ, and it directly counters some of the ideas in the world around of who Jesus is, the heresies that are being taught. But then it moves on to living a life of obedience to Jesus. And if you recall, I referred to the latter verses of 1 John 1 last week about fighting sin. And now in chapter 2, the beginning, if you're just scanning the page there, you'll see at the beginning it talks about Jesus being our advocate, standing up in our defense, and then being the atoning sacrifice for when we do fall prey to the fires of temptation. Then a little further on, just before the text I'm going to read, in verse 13, there's a message here for the cadets and for all the young men and the young women. It says, I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. In other words, you have successfully fought the fires of temptation. I write this to you to encourage you to keep doing it and to do so even more. And that leads us to verse 15. And kind of the preface I want to raise to you is this question. Listen, if there are fires erupting all around us in the world, if temptation is everywhere around us, then should we love living on this earth? I mean, if everywhere you go, there's fires erupting and temptations to fight, should we love this world? Or should we just like live for the next? Look at what the writer has to say. Verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Well, that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Keep your Bibles open as we look at this text this morning. Let me say a word about the world first. If you look at it carefully and you take other texts into account, I conclude this, and I think you can only, from the Bible, love it, hate it, and discern it or figure it out. Love it, hate it, and figure it out. John 3:16. You may have heard this text before. For God so loved the world. God loves the world. And now we get to this text in 1 John 2. It says, hate the world. If you love the world, you don't love the Father. How do we reconcile it? Okay, very simply, very quickly. Make a distinction. Discern it. The world that God has made is beautiful. The created order that God designed is spectacular. It's awesome. The people that are part of God's created world are to be loved and treasured. Love the world. The created world and the people that God has made to walk this planet. Love is God's call for us. Hate the world. It's the world of sin that is tarnished, that has marred, and that has burned to ashes so many of the relationships and so much of the beauty of God's creation. Hate that part of the world. Hate the world that sin has destroyed. The world that is controlled by the devil. In fact, if you still got your Bibles open, I hope you do. If you go to chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "We know that we are children of God." Love the children. That's part of God's world. "And that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." We live in a span of time where the devil has so much reign that he can spark fires all over the place that burn to ashes. If you have ever met someone who's been burned in a fire and you see the kind of agony that they go through. We used to spend Thanksgiving with his family in Indiana. And this man would come who was related to this family we would meet with, who was burned in a warehouse fire, serious third-degree burns over significant parts of his body. His recovery was measured in decades. He had been recovering for 10, 20 years at the time we met him. He still had scars all over. His body was so marred, and every time he'd open his hands or stretch, the skin would stretch and pull. The pain, the temptation, and falling prey to it brings in our lives. Hate it. Hate the world that the devil is controlling. Hate the sin that he brings into our lives. So here's the thing for us this morning, cadets, and all of us. We have got to learn to discern where the fires are sparking up. And we've got to learn how to successfully fight and resist like the firefighters do in buildings all around us from day to day. I want to show you a couple of pictures, tell you a little bit of story here. First of all, a Scud missile. Let's show that here. You've heard of these Scud missiles. They were created somewhere in the Middle East, and they were used quite a bit back, especially in the early 1990s. Saddam Hussein was using them, firing them off at Israel and Saudi Arabia, wreaking havoc around and creating a lot of fear among people. So the Americans developed a highly sophisticated missile called the Patriot missile. This missile selling at $1 million or made at $1 million a piece, very expensive, highly sophisticated, was designed to identify and intercept Scud missiles before they could land. And so the next picture shows the interception of a Patriot missile with a Scud, exploding it in midair before it can cause harm. What we need to do in our lives is to identify and intercept sin before it can penetrate and cause the explosion and the fires in our lives. That is so common when we let our guard down. And God gives us everything we need to fight temptation in the world. So let's begin. This text has some help for us. Let's talk about temptation in the world. Verse 16, take a look at that verse. "For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world." Okay, if you're going to intercept, you've got to know what it is you're intercepting. So let's figure it out. Three things that the Bible talks about here that are temptations that we need to identify, that cause fires in our life, that we need to fight and resist and intercept. Let's figure out what those three things are. As I get into this, I want you to ask yourself this question. Which of these, or within each of these, what is a temptation that is coming close to me, that I am so drawn to, that I'm inclined not to intercept, that I'm inclined not to fight, that I'm inclined to allow to get to me and will cause a fire? Just yesterday, I was driving by down 59, and I stopped in at Cold Stone Ice Cream. How many here have had Cold Stone? Let's see your hands. All right, good stuff. Okay, there's three sizes of ice cream. What's the smallest size?
Like it.
All right, got it. Okay, what's the next size?
Love it.
What's the biggest size? Gotta have it. Okay, here we go. Here's the like it, right? There's the like it size. Not bad. Love it. Okay. Now this is the one for the brave. This is the high calorie. Okay. This is the one. How many of you have had a gotta have it size ice cream before? Honest. Come on. Put your hand. You can be honest. Okay. Good. Some of you have had it. All right. Here's the deal. When it comes to temptation, there are some temptations for us that are the like it size. You know, it's kind of a low level. It'll, you know, I'll think about it, but I can easily brush it off. Then you got the love it, you know, love to be involved in, love to do it, but I got to resist it, and I usually can't. The got to have it. This is the one you got to watch for. All right? This is the temptation. This is the one that you, if you can identify, you can see the scud coming at you. You can say, this is trouble. I got to fight this one intentionally or I am going to be hit. If I don't intercept this soon, once it gets close, I'm done for. You cross the line, it's too late. It's over with. You know it. You know it in yourself. I know it in myself. What's the got to have it size that gets you in trouble? Okay, think about that as we go through this. All right, first of all, we want to talk to you about the cravings of sinful man. That's the first statement. And the description I use of this is the distracting desires. The distracting desires that we fall prey to. Okay, here's some examples. The desire for happiness above everything else. Happy is what really matters in life. The desire for action. You know, I want action in my life. I want to be at the foreground of everything that's going on. A really competitive spirit. It becomes consuming to me. Attention. The desire, the internal craving for attention and recognition and popularity and fame and all that the world brings. The desire for sex. We'll talk about that next week. A beautiful gift, beautiful desire that gets warped. And the devil uses it and throws all kinds of temptations our way. The desire to hold a grudge, to gossip, just distracting desire, things that get us away from God's world, from God, the love of God, and get us into a whole lot of trouble. The Garden of Eden, by the way, is a great example of this. And those of you who know the story know that in the garden, the devil in the form of a serpent came to Eve and simply asked her this question. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? What does that question imply? That question implies, is God really that limiting? Does God really want to take away the things you desire? Is God really just this killjoy? Of course he is, the devil's saying. He's a killjoy for the things you really want. You gotta rise above God to satisfy your desires. The voice of the devil in the world today is the same. God's such a killjoy. You got these desires. They're good desires. They're healthy desires. Pursue them. Don't worry about what God thinks. It's a temptation that has started at the beginning of creation. The temptation that you and I struggle with today too. Distracting desires. The second one is, I call an eye full of stuff. An eye full of stuff. It says, the lust of his eyes. The craving of his eyes. What you see, you lock in on. You love it. You don't just like it. You don't just love it. You gotta have it. It can be in this tight economy where you really gotta cut back, but you're out shopping and this stuff looks so good. It would look so good in the wardrobe. It would look so good in the house. You're out shopping for a new vehicle because your old one is getting to the point where too many repairs are required. And the lust of the eyes moves you from what is going to be helpful for your family, what is going to meet the needs, to what you really want. How many people haven't gotten in trouble with that in the homes that they've purchased? And they max out the mortgages. And if you're in that boat, and now you're struggling with it because, frankly, your house is worth less than the mortgage that you owe on it. And if you've just stretched yourself to that point and now you're afraid because with inflation looming in about a year and a half from now, and it's coming, if you're worried about how you're going to make ends meet, listen, you're not alone. And this isn't a message to propel us into guilt. Many of us feel guilty enough. It's what we do about it. We got to identify it so we can see it. So from this day forward, we can target it, intercept it, and begin that work to battle the fires of temptation that Satan brings into our lives. The world that Satan controls, temptation. The third one is, but before I move on to that, let me just say this. Actually, I'll do it in reference to this next one. Obsession with self. That's the third one. Obsession with self. The boasting of what he has and does. This sense of pride in what we have and what we've accomplished and who we are in. This promoting of ourselves. You know, it's so hard to identify that in us. We can see it in other people. We can't see it in ourselves very easily at all. We've got to really ask God to show us, where do I get obsessed with myself? How do I look? What do I have? How does this make me appear? Marriage is where this stuff comes to the foreground. Somebody wrote this, Helen Rowland, interesting quote. It says, "Marriage is the operation by which a woman's vanity and a man's egotism are extracted without anesthesia." Think about it. A woman's vanity and a man's egotism are extracted without anesthesia. Why? Because when you get close to a person, you see it. And when you get frustrated, you call it for what it is. And when it's called for what it is, it creates tension and conflict and arguments and distance and divorce. And God says, I give marriage as a great opportunity for you to deal with the stuff, the fires of temptation, including that of boasting and arrogance and self-obsession. I will extract it, but it may be painful because you've let the devil get a foothold, the fires of the devil in your life. So a little bit now about defeating temptation in the world. Let's move. How do you defeat temptations? If you can identify a couple from things I've just talked about, which are in this category that are dangerous to you, the God of habits, how do you fight those temptations? I want to give you a practical illustration of it. Again, from the Fireproof movie, you'll see this clip. I think it's appropriately done for our setting today. The guy, Caleb, is struggling with computer. You turn the computer on, sometimes you just have images that come up on the screen that are tempting to you and could lead you toward pornography. What do you do? Watch this movie clip. Let's roll it.
Day 23, watch out for parasites. A parasite is anything that latches onto you or your partner and sucks the life out of your marriage. They're usually in the form of addictions like gambling, drugs, or pornography. They promise pleasure, but grow like a disease and consume more and more of your thoughts, time, and money. They steal away your loyalty and heart from those you love. Marriages rarely survive if parasites are present. If you love your wife, you must destroy any addiction that has your heart. If you don't, it will destroy you.
Okay, Lord, no more addictions. Mr. Rudolph?
Caleb?
You doing okay today?
No, not really.
Now, I know what those of you who are financially minded are saying. What an absolute waste of money, right? Let me ask you the question. What is more important to you? Is it more important for us to continue to live with things surrounding us that draw us into the fires of temptation, or to do whatever it takes to do what it is that would honor God with our lives? Whatever your age, whatever your stage of life, there is something that falls into the like and love it or got to have it category that you need to, by the strength and the grace of God, learn how to fight. How do you do it? How do you do it? Verse 17 of the text I read to you says, "The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live forever." The one who does fundamentally the will of God. Where does this start with? Now, some of us fall prey to this mentality that Christianity is just about doing all the right things. It's about this rigid obedience that we lock in on and we feel so guilty about when we fall in, and it fundamentally sucks the life out of us. Let me propose a new way to you. Look at this verse, verse 15, where it says to us, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world," and here's the key phrase, "the love of the Father is not in him." So, how do you fight temptation? Grow your love for the Father. If you're taking notes this morning, write this down. Love the Father more. Cultivate your love for the Father. So much so that when something tempts you, you'll look at it, you walk away, you stand by the fireplace, and you say to yourself, "What am I going to do? Am I going to make a choice that will bring about a fire in my life and burn to ashes what is important? Or am I going to choose from this day forward to love God more?" It's not just about rigid obedience. It's about love. Do I love the Father or do I love the world? And for today, I choose here and now to love the Father more. Love the Father. That's where it starts. Love the Father and cultivate that love for Him. And then second, once you have that in place, number two, claim God's authority. Claim God's authority. Understand that the love of the Father carries with it the power of the Father through the Holy Spirit that is embedded inside of you. It's, as it were, a Patriot missile that God has put inside of you that enables you to intercept the Scud before it can land. You have that authority, you have that power resident within you. It's not yours, it's God's, but it comes to reside within. Love the Father. Claim God's authority. Ephesians 6 verse 12, our struggle's not against flesh and blood. You gotta know this. It's against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual. Listen, this is a spiritual battle we are engaged in. Those fires don't come from nowhere. They come from a devil who controls the world of sin, who keeps firing it up. He creates the environment, the dry conditions. He releases the propane, and if you don't armor up, if you don't put on the equipment, if you don't protect yourself, if you don't claim the authority of God, you will burn. But you don't have to, because God has promised that we have the authority of God resident within us. 1 John 3, verse 7 and 8, in that same text. "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." That means he can destroy that work in your life as you surrender yourself to Him and claim His authority. A couple of texts related to that. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Read these more at home. Memorize them. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Listen, you can. Just like the firefighters have learned to fight all kinds of makes and styles of fires by partnering up together, by putting on the right equipment, by using the right tools, they have learned how to be effective in fighting many fires. In the same way, you can. Partnering up, putting on the equipment, refusing to go alone, refusing to leave your partner, fighting the fires of temptation. And when fire does strike you directly, to do what the guy here said, stop, drop, and roll. Chicago Tribune article of just a week or two ago, a 9-year-old boy who's walked by a propane space heater in his home. His clothes got too close to it and ignited. He dropped to the floor. He rolled around, and the grandmother called the ambulance. He did get some burns, but he is going to be fine because he applied the technique he knew to apply. And you and I can do the same in our spiritual lives. Love the Father. Claim the authority of God. Refuse to do it alone. Memorize Scripture. Resist the devil. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Stop. See the temptation for what it is. Drop everything you're doing and look to God. Roll away from the temptation before it gets close. And you will be spared. And finally, love the Father, claim God's authority, and refocus your energy. Refocus it this way. So many of us spend so much time thinking about all the bad things out there we got to fight that we miss the purpose of God for us in the world, which is to reach the world. To reach the world, the created world, the world of people who are succumbing to the world of sin and temptation. Refocus instead of always just like where the temptations, I mean, do that work, but then focus your energy to something positive. There's a whole world of people who are succumbing to the fires of temptation. Reach somebody in this world with the love of Christ. And that's why the last word is this: live confidently in this world as a citizen of another. Here's the thing. Some of us have fallen prey to the idea that this world is so good, why would I ever want to leave this place and go to a place called heaven? Most of us who are in that mindset have become so oblivious to all the things in the movie theaters, in the videos we watch, in the music we listen to, in the attitudes that we cop. We've grown oblivious. When you see the things that are to be hated in this world, you begin to understand, I don't live for this place. I live for something far better. And I want to take as many people with me to that place as possible. That's the mission of our church, to bring as many people with us as we can. Reach the world. Draw them out of the fires that the devil sparks up all around us. And bring them to the world that God is creating for us someday. Live this in this world with purpose as a citizen of another. 1 John 4, verse 4, you, dear children, are from God and you've overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Live as children of the King, as that song says. Fight the fires of temptation. Live above the values that the world promotes. And live in the freedom from the fires that God provides through the equipment, through the intercepting ability that comes when we love the Father, when we claim His authority, and when we refocus our energy. Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, I realize that in order for this morning to be more than just an intellectual exercise in understanding temptation, but for it to really impact us, we have got to do some soul searching. There isn't a single person here today, Father, who does not have an area of life which, if they continue on the path toward, or if they succumb to that area of temptation, will not see their lives destroyed, their relationships destroyed, their walk with you annihilated. So this is serious stuff. And as much, God, as a firefighter is intentional and serious about his or her work in fighting fires. So God, help us to be. Thank you for your word, for the help it provides for us, for the equipment it gives to us to fight the fires and to live a life that is honoring to you. Help us, Father, to do it beginning today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.